Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Dragons here with an episode 3 preview podcast. Stats and Curry back at it. Curry, how are we feeling?
Stats, I'm good. I am looking forward to Sunday night here. We got this early morning podcast and ready to get after it for the weekend.
Absolutely. Later in the week podcast for us, you know, looking to get some more intel on episode 3, later release on the stills and the title. We don't even have a title yet. We have a speculative title. Curry, what is that speculative title of episode 3 here?
Speculative title, yeah, it hasn't been confirmed by any official outlets, but I saw some things online. Nothing spoilery, but just some speculation of the title being Second of His Name.
Got it. Second of His Name. That's a reference clearly to what we saw in the trailer, right, Curry? So let's jump into a little bit of the trailer dissection. Normally, we do a little bit of a wrap-up of the wrap-up. But we're fast-forwarding a decent amount here in episode 3 that there's not too much use to going backwards. So let's talk trailer, Curry.
Yeah, so the trailer, we saw it last week. We didn't discuss it last week, but we're ready to discuss it now. And we see that right off the bat, there is a decent time jump. We know there's a big one coming. Obviously, they change actors for 4 of the roles. For Rhaenyra, for Alicent, for the 2 Velaryon children. So we know there's a big time jump coming. We're not there yet, but this one, it looks like maybe, I don't know, maybe 3 years. Like, I'm not great with like judging the ages of children, but...
At least 9 months.
At least 9 months. At least, I would say at least 2 years probably, because we get the trailer and we see Alicent and... King Viserys with a baby, a little blonde Targaryen babe, and we find out through the trailer that it's a boy. His name is Aegon, which would make him Aegon Second of His Name, because it's, you know, obviously Aegon the Conqueror. And you know, we see our girl Rhaenyra does not seem thrilled with the presence of her younger brother, her best friend's son, and we already see that, you know, Lord Hightower has gotten into the head of the king, and I guess, you know, the king's wife, Lord Hightower's daughter, has gotten into the head of the king, that, you know, Aegon's the firstborn son of the king, and he should be the heir. So Rhaenyra's not thrilled with that.
Yeah, exactly. So Aegon's coming through, and he's born, and we get in from the trailer. Obviously, Otto, the Hand, is pushing like hard on Alicent, and it's just like we thought maybe like, is this guy trying to be a good guy? Is this guy trying to, you know, is he have born intentions? We saw maybe a little bit more of that push as we've gone forward, and now it's just like, it's so crystal clear. Like, he's in, we're doing this, like, I got my daughter married to the king, and now like my grandson needs to be king. Like, screw any handshake deals that were had with his daughter. You know, let's roll. We have an heir. And so drama to be continued, right?
Right. And in the trailer, it's Otto is the voiceover that we're hearing. So we don't actually see him, but he's the one who says he's the firstborn son of the king. And, you know, cuts to Rhaenyra looking dismayed. There's, you know, some shots of the king being a father to the child, and so the king says to Rhaenyra, "You will be with your own child sooner than later." And then there's another scene as well. You know, she says, "I do not wish to get married." He says, "Even I do not exist above tradition and duty, Rhaenyra." So those two lines, those two scenes that we see, that's setting the stage for the conflict of this coming episode, at least the conflict in terms of Rhaenyra and her father and the succession is, you know, she doesn't want to get married. She had said as much, you know, back in episode 1. She said, you know, she didn't really want to be a royal. She wanted to fly around the world on her dragon and eat cakes with her friend Alicent. But, you know, things have taken a turn from that, obviously.
Yeah, 100%. And so let me ask you, from him pushing her to get married to create, you know, her own baby, do you think there's a avenue where the king is still on board with her being the heir himself, but like he's getting push from other people that like, no, like this son is the heir. And like, do you think that the king kind of folds over into, it's probably should be the son?
I think Viserys is completely all in on the son.
Really? Okay.
And obviously, I think he's giving in to the pushback from Otto, from his new young wife, probably from other lords of, you know, the small council. I think he just looks back at his own history. You know, he was made king over his cousin Rhaenys, who's a woman. And I think it's similar. I think he just said, you know, yeah, this is my son, and he's going to be king, as opposed to my daughter. She can't be a king. She's my daughter. So,
So you think Viserys just flips the script? Because I mean, there was like that slight head nod where he was like, "Listen, I'm never going to replace your mom, and like I'm not trying to replace you as heir." So you think you feeling like he just totally flips? Right?
I think he flips. I think he's got his baby boy, named him after Aegon the Conqueror. I think that's you know. You don't name your son after Aegon the Conqueror unless he's going to be king. So I think
got it. It does take away some of the potential infighting if that's the case. If it's kind of crystal clear who the next heir is.
So I think it takes away the infighting only from Viserys. It doesn't take away the infighting from the Targaryens as a whole. I think there's still obviously the Daemon issues out there. You know, Lord Corlys is still not happy with the marriage of Alicent and the king, as opposed to, you know, his daughter Laena and the king. And so I think there's still definitely going to be some conflict, some friction between, you know, within the Targaryen family.
Got it.
And we see, you know, the princess later in the trailer, she says, you know, no one's here for me. It seems like she's talking to her friend Alicent there. The queen says, you know, no one's here for me. She gets on a horse and she rides off. She's just Audi 5K, right?
Yeah, she's buzzing on that horse in the trailer. The speaking of other, you know, conflict here, your boy, the crab feeder, he's making moves. He's wheeling in. What do we got?
We see a lot of the crab feeder in the trailer.
He's on the come up.
So our next scene, we have a shot just of him, just kind of looking ominous. It's dark. He's a creepy looking guy. It looks like
he's got weird.
He's
vibes.
Making some more, you know, stakes posts to tie people to and feed them to crabs. And
loves that. That's his big thing.
Yeah, that's his thing. They call him Crab Feeder. He lives up to that name. He feeds the crabs. So we get a voiceover from Lord Corlys. It says the Crab Feeder has dug in for siege on Bloodstone, which is one of the stepstones.
Yes.
And he says, while his men sabotage our fleet. He says, the matter of the stepstones is regrettably urgent. So
yeah, he's pissed.
Yeah, and he's been saying that for 3 weeks now. Well,
yeah, he's been calling
3 weeks of House of the Dragons, which in time has been, you know, maybe 3 years. We're not even sure exactly.
Exactly.
So, he's been talking about the crab feeder for a while, and it looks like we're finally going to get... if not a conclusion, at least some thrilling climax for the crab feeder. Hopefully, we have shots of some military planning. That's every military plan in Westeros involves like little chess pieces. Like everyone just has these toys like ready to go, set it up. Doesn't matter who they're against.
The king is a big toy guy. We didn't we did figure that out. Yeah.
So yeah, and
upcoming
Corlys says crabs will soon dine on all of us. That's just a funny line.
He's a little dramatic, but like he's got a point. But he's still like a little bit like, dude, like all right, chill with the crabs. But he's and we see him on the battlefield in the trailer, right? So it's not, you know, Corlys. He almost seems a little like he's got like the golden slippers on now. He's like the royal. He's got the royal feel. After his, you know, he gave his autobiography the week where he's like, listen, like I like made my name for my family. And now like he's up sitting with the big dogs, but we see him on the battlefield, and not on a ship. He's just armored up on like a legit battlefield, in the trailer.
Yeah. So we see Lord Corlys, he's got his Velaryon armor on, you know, he's got The golden locks are flowing. We have a shot of Damon is out there with some other of the Valarian soldiers. And yeah, they're going to battle. There's a scene, the next scene, they're all, I'm not sure who everyone is exactly, but there's soldiers, they're running. Corliss says, we're losing. There's some battle scenes. Shout out Miguel Sapochnik, definitely heavily involved in this episode. See some bow and arrow action, people getting a shot.
There's a bow and arrow. There's a bow and arrow quick clip where we got blonde hair flowing and we got an arrow hitting it. And so I don't know what's up with that. It's very quick. You can look at it right now if you have it pulled up.
So it looks like the people shooting the bow and arrows are they seem to be like people from the Free Cities from Essos.
Yeah,
they're not Westerosi. Think back to Game of Thrones when Daenerys went to Meereen and Volantis and and those cities and Pentos. You know, that's what these people kind of look like. They're wearing more like cloth than armor.
Yeah, rags. Yeah. Robin Hood.
Exactly. So that's kind of who's backing the crab feeder. They've discussed that in past episodes that, you know, he's probably supported by, you know, there's powerful people in Essos that want him to continue what he's doing, that are backing him. So that's also a little kind of a hidden conflict that's going on as well.
Yeah, that Esso money being thrown around for sure. Esso's money. Get a quick look at that. Who gets hit with a bow and arrow? You have the trailer pulled up.
Yeah, so I have it now. You can't see the guy's face. I mean, you just see that he's got some blonde hair. Yeah. So I don't think it's anyone significant.
You don't think it's King?
I don't even think the King's going to be there.
You think he's just chilling, playing with his toys?
The King. We talked about it last week, how he's got this rotting hand going on. Who knows how much that's progressed, you know, in the past 2 years or however long it's been this episode. So I don't think the King is taking battle anytime soon. I think
you don't think he's taking field. He's not taking the field.
I don't trust I think his maester, and I forget his maester's name, but I think his maester sucks. I think his maester is just going to.
It's like an inside job.
He tried maggots, and I don't think. His maester studied enough medicine.
And the thing is, you know, we saw our maesters in Thrones, right? And we're, 127 years before Thrones? So, medicine is 120 years behind what it was even so poorly handled in Thrones. So, that's one thing. I don't think we hit on too much in the reaction. We did a little bit with the maggots, but, as time goes on, health is not on, you know, the King's side for sure. Anything else from the trailer here? I got Battlefield Arrow. Oh, big one.
Big one. So then
we got Dragonfire.
And that's the next, right after we see this unknown Targaryen soldier get hit with an arrow. There's like a dramatic pause and silence, and you just hear, they just yell dragon. And it cuts to, you see the crab feeder up close. You see his face up close. And so the crab feeder, he's wearing some kind of mask. Like on Twitter from the, our account at right after HOTD,
Hot D.
I tweeted a photo of him and compared him to like the Hound and, the Sons of the Harpy from Game of Thrones. So the Hound obviously had he was disfigured. He was burned. And the Sons of the Harpy, they wore the gold masks. They, you know, caused Daenerys a lot of trouble. So here we got this guy. He has like a kind of like a half gold mask, and you just see kind of like the bottom of his chin and jawline.
Yeah.
Is.
It's like Phantom of the Opera vibe.
So the bottom of his chin and jawline, I almost want to say that like he might have grayscale. Like hit all across his face, and who knows how much more he has it. But you remember from Game of Thrones, Jorah had grayscale. The Stone Men had grayscale, and they kind of went insane. So the crab feeder, I think that's a theory.
He's got some dry skin on the chin.
So he either, you know, was disfigured in some sort of accident like the Hound, or I think he might have grayscale. But Regardless, so that, yeah, we get a shot of the crab feeder, and then we get some dragon fire. So we know the dragons are coming to save the day, as they always did in Game of Thrones with Daenerys. You know, a little bit of a too easy solution there, but they come in.
Trump card.
Come in. They're burning up the battlefield, fire hose. And that is the end of the trailer.
Yeah, and so I mean, we saw the reluctance of the king to drop, you know, the nuke essentially when it came to the dragons, and now, you know, we're seeing dragons on the battlefield like this in the next trailer. I was gonna say, do you think this is all in episode 3, or do you think all these scenes will be in episode 3?
I do think that this is all in episode 3. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, coming this season trailer. I think it was like a next week trailer. It may not have said next week, but I think it was like a next week trailer.
Yeah.
And then also so now I want to touch on the still frames that were released, the promotional stills by HBO, because they show that we do get a pretty, I feel like it has to be a significant jump forward at this point, but even from earlier in the episode, but maybe not, but so the clue that tells me that we might get a bigger jump than expected is one of the still frames, and you know, we get a lot of still frames of the Valarian soldiers. And one of them is clearly Lord Velaryon's son, Laenor Velaryon, and he is significantly older than he was at the tournament when we first saw him. I'm talking like, it's two different actors. They did an actor change, so he looks at least 10 years older. But for the sake of the show, I mean, I guess you could get away with saying like, oh, he was, you know, 14 and now he's 18. I don't know, like you can get away with saying like, oh, you know, now he's a young man, as opposed to, you know, he was a teenager before, I guess. I don't know. So you get a shot of the Valarians. They're kind of plotting around a wooden table with some chess pieces, some toys. You get a shot of some Valarians, one of which looks like Lord Corlys, one looks like just another probably high ranking soldier on the battlefield. They have like a seahorse sigil on their shield, so that's pretty cool. And it legitimately is a horse head on top of like a seahorse body, so it's a little odd, but
pretty yeah.
So yeah, a lot of good shots of the Valarian soldiers. Lord Corlys, you know, leading the way.
He's out there, man. He is, you know, he's all in.
He's out there. His son is, I don't know if his son's out there. His son is there. They might be kind of holding him back, similar to, you know, Joffrey getting held back. Just that, you know, hey, like, you are the future of this house. We don't want you on the front lines. Go ahead. And then, also with the Valarians and the high ranking, you know, Lord Corlys and his son and one of his other probably generals is Prince Daemon is there. He's out there with the Valarians. There's a still frame. He's got some kind of parchment rolled up in his hand. So it's probably some sort of message either for them or for him, maybe from the king. I don't know, but Daemon always a wild card at this point. But last week ended with Lord Corlys kind of offering to team up with Prince Daemon. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure this episode.
Absolutely. Do we think that that's everything from the stills, right?
That's everything from the Valarian stills. We have some more from Rhaenyra and the king.
Go ahead.
So we get, again, you know, a couple shots of the new baby Aegon, a shot of his wife as well, Alicent, and it looks like, so the baby Aegon, he's clearly, you know, if I had to guess, I'd say about 2 in this still, and Lady Alicent looks pregnant again in this still, so they're just popping out heirs because he's got to, he said, you know, I have to kind of repopulate the line.
100%.
And then there's some shots of Rhaenyra, and she is talking to a, it looks like a Lannister soldier, or I don't know if he's a soldier, but a Lannister lord. We see, you know, the lion sigil, the red, scarlet red cloak. House Lannister is back this week, so that's something big to look out for. And we know, you know, just based on history of Westeros, Robert's Rebellion, we know that the Lannisters and the Targaryens are pretty close at the time of Robert's Rebellion, and ultimately, yeah, you know, Tywin Lannister kind of betrayed the Mad King, and Jaime Lannister ultimately was the Kingslayer, but that was all due to Tywin Lannister kind of double-crossing the king, turning his back on the king. So
yeah, being on the end.
Then there's a shot of Viserys and his wife, and there's a big fire, so just a shot, not really too much to take from that. More shots of Viserys and Rhaenyra. It looks like they're not in the throne room, but in some sort of official gathering. There's a lot, it seems to be a lot of lords, some Kingsguard around them. Another shot of a Lannister lord presenting, it looks like a big spear or something, to probably Viserys. You can't see who he's giving it to, but he's like presenting a gift. It looks like, you know, almost like either a wedding gift or a birth gift, sort of, you know, a gift, and he's trying to win favor with the king. We also, this is a little interesting, there's only one shot of this. There's a shot of Sir Criston Cole walking with Princess Rhaenyra. Not sure where exactly they are, but walking through some sort of wooded area with two horses. So maybe he's the one that tracks her down after she leaves on horse, or maybe he goes with her to protect her, and you know, because he is a member of the Kingsguard, and that's his job. And that's, we get another shot of pregnant Alicent. She's very pregnant. Like, she looks like she could be popping out twins any day. And that is about it. So we have a lot. There's going to be, you know, two main storylines from this episode based on the trailer and the promos, and that's what's going on at home with Alicent, Rhaenyra, Viserys, and now we got the Lannisters are mixed in there, and then what's going on at the Stepstones, where we're going to get some action, we're going to get some dragons. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be big. Do you think, can we get a quick like analysis from me here? Do you think that, just where, how do you see the demon sea snake situation playing out? Like, what's your thoughts on it?
I think they're both kind of alphas, I think. So I don't think it's going to be the easiest alliance, but at the same time, I think they have similar interests at this point. I don't think either of them is happy with Viserys as king and the way things are going right now. And I think by taking out the crab feeder, I think Daemon is like, all right, I'll help him out, I'll scratch his back, and then he'll back me for the crown. I think maybe that's kind of what he's going. Or alternatively, hey, we'll do this, you know, we'll take out the crab feeder, I'll scratch your back. Also, maybe I'll marry your daughter, because Daemon is, while still significantly older than Lady Lena, is younger than his brother. So
yes,
I'll take out the crab feeder, I'll marry your daughter.
Poor Lady Lena.
I'll marry your daughter, and then boom, Prince Daemon, House Velaryon, we're going for the throne. So I think Viserys, the two of them.
Yeah, I think that Viserys having the son, like I said this earlier, like I think him having the son kind of diffuses like a decent amount of drama. You know, because it's just like his son, like, you know, it's his firstborn son. Like, obviously it's the king, you know, like the heir drama goes away unless he's like you know, and I don't think that this is out of the question. You seem to think it definitely is, but unless he's like insistent that like, no, like Rhaenyra got the job, everyone's sort of Rhaenyra. So like she's still like first in line, then this son second, then I think it's like drama city. But if the son comes out, I mean, like Daemon, does Daemon have a claim to the throne over the firstborn son of the king? You know, like it's gotta be, it's like less like, yo, like what's he's going off the rail. You know what I'm saying? So I think that drama gets diffused if the and it becomes more like power hungry instead of like whoa 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 like rightful heir was like discontinued you know for his daughter. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. One thing I'll just say I think is just like what's your thoughts on like the pace is so fast, right? And so it's like just what's your general thought on the emphasis on pace compared to such an emphasis on lack of pace in Game of Thrones?
I enjoy that the pace so far it has been between episodes as opposed to during episodes. I think that was a big issue with Game of Thrones, just that it seemed like the early seasons, each episode itself was, you know, maybe a couple days, but they would just drag on and nothing would get done. I mean, there were seasons where Daenerys was just walking in the desert, you know? So,
yeah.
But the issue with Game of Thrones, all, you know, that's how the first couple seasons were. And then the end, all of a sudden we got Gendry sprinting from beyond the wall to Daenerys on a dragon in a couple hours. Like that kind of time jump stuff, that made no sense, and frustrated most fans because it was just such a major plot hole. So, the end of Game of Thrones, obviously, it seemed like everything was just fast-forwarded. You know, the showrunners wanted out. They wanted to go do Star Wars, which they then got fired from.
Yes.
So the showrunners wanted out. They wanted to wrap it up. They no longer had the source material from George R.R. Martin. So, you know, they weren't interested in writing their own ending. They were interested in adapting his work. So this show is different. It's George R.R. Martin already wrote the novel. It's finished, and we know ultimately it ends with Robert's Rebellion, with the events of Game of Thrones. So like there's no real mystery, I guess, for those who have read the book and for those who have researched, you know,
Just understand the timeline.
Yeah, and just understand the timeline. So, you know, it's the time jumps don't bother me because I think we just have there's a lot of insignificant time where we just need characters to age. Obviously, we have Aegon is born this episode. He's currently a baby, so he's not relevant. He's not an actor. He's a baby. He's not gonna have lines. He's not gonna be going out there saying, you know, I'm the king. But
yeah,
by the end of the season, I think he's gonna be a Joffrey. Yes, Joffrey he's gonna vibes. Be a Joffrey type. Maybe I'm not saying he's gonna be an asshole, but he's gonna be a little kid who wants to be king.
Yeah, to know
old enough to know I'm the king. I want to be king. My older sister is not the queen. I'm the king. Like, I think he's going to know enough that... So we need those kind of time jumps. And then also, you know, if Allison's pregnant again, there's going to be another potential heir who has a claim ahead of Rhaenyra, if it's a boy. You know, a claim ahead of Rhaenyra, a claim ahead of Daemon. So we have... I think they just need to introduce new characters just to mix it up, to extend this conflict, because I don't think this is the kind of thing that I don't think it's going to be like in with the Great Council who picked Viserys or not Viserys, Viserys' father, who, you know, picked Viserys' father over Rhaenys. I think it's going to be, you know, we have Daemon, we have Rhaenyra, they both want the throne. Daemon is a wild card. He's going to try to take it. I think it's more toward like civil war than you know, Great Council choosing the next heir.
And I just think that like in Thrones, like this whole episode would be about like like the princess's reaction to the father's decision of marrying, you know, Alicent. You know, what's Daemon's like immediate move right after he meets with, you know, the sea snake? What, you know, let's get a little more in the crab feeder. And okay, like there's the episode. And like this is just like, it's like, oh no, no, no. Like who cares what she thinks? Like, you know, baby's already out, you know? And it's like, who cares what, you know, not who cares, but like there's no big lead up into like where the crab feeder's going, because this episode it's battle on. And so it's just a difference. It's just a big difference. It's a little less thorough, which I think people like. It's just like pacing just is a lot heavier for sure. So anything else you got thoughts on?
Yeah, just with the pace, I think, like you said, it's more important for these showrunners to hit these like key events in the Targaryen mm-hmm. history rather than drag it out and over explain it and let suspense build. Not that, you know, suspense isn't building, but it's just you're not sitting there waiting for things to happen. They understand, all right, we have a lot of, I guess, Targaryen history to cover. We got probably, I don't know, maybe 100 years in this series. I'm not sure exactly, but you know, they're not going to go all the way up to the Mad King, I don't think. But if they go from Viserys to, you know, whoever the next king is, and then maybe the next king, like, yeah, so we could get, you know, about 100 years here. So I think they're just like, all right, we're going to hit the main events. We have first episode, introduce you to what's going on. Second episode, we have, you know, more introductions, some conflict building. Third episode, new heirs born. We have this, mm-hmm. you know, crab feeder, which then rolls into, mm-hmm. you know, potentially Daemon and Velaryon joining forces and going for the throne. So that's how I predict it going. Who knows what's going to happen after that? Mm-hmm. I think we're going to end this episode with at least two sides going for the throne, and then mm-hmm. you know, I don't know where Rhaenyra is going to end up on this, if she's going to side with, if she's going to stake her own claim, or if she's going to join forces and side with her uncle, or if she's going to say, wait a minute, no, like I'm still going to support my dad and my best friend and their son, my brother. So
got it. Anything else before we shut it down, Kerry?
So there was a big announcement this week that Miguel Sapochnik is not returning for season 2 of House of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. Miguel Sapochnik, we talked about him before. He's a legendary director of Game of Thrones, all the great battle episodes, Battle of the Bastards, Hardhome. You know, we've said chances are your favorite episode was directed by Miguel Sapochnik. So that's going to be a big loss. I think he's staying on as like maybe an executive producer or something, but
advisory.
But it's going to be a big loss.
Yeah, well, interesting to see. I mean, it was kind of off the heels of like, hey, we got season 2. Like, all right, cool. You know, the show's kind of buzzing. To like, all right, Sapochnik out. Like, all right, like Sapochnik out. Like, damn. Okay, but I don't think it's. We'd like to hype up like Sapochnik episode, but I don't think that it's like, oh shit, like Sapochnik's not in. So like, there's going to be a big drop off in this series. It doesn't have to be that.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it. He was going to do more HBO projects or something. So for him, this is mm-hmm. probably maybe a promotion, or maybe just, you know, I get to do what I want to do. And I maybe he didn't really sign up for this. Maybe this is part of his agreement beforehand. Like, hey, I'll do season 1 and I'm out. But it's definitely going to be a loss for the show. Hoping maybe he'll stick around and direct, you know, a major battle episode of season or something.
Yeah, late game plays, yeah. All right, man. I mean, good preview. We got a lot to chew on, and I think we're going to have a lot more post-EP3. And there's going to be some bloodshed, which is, you know, traditional Thrones. Dragonfire, bloodshed. Well, you know, we're back at it for sure. You all good?
I'm good, yeah. Can't wait for this battle episode. It's going to be sick.
All right, man. Let's do it. This has been the Preview Pod for Episode 3. Name TBD, some speculation out there. But we're all good. All right. So we are going to wrap it up here. We will hear from you, and you will hear from us next time, right after Dragons.